I think it's proper that I call it the vein that I'm on is the love of God. If there's anything that I want in this world, it's for the Father to be seen in my life. And that will not happen outside of understanding the love of God. It will never be possible. If we could ever understand His love, what it means to love Him, we would never be the same. Never be the same. Never. I mean, you'll never be the same. You'll go out like the 11. The Coast Guard has a motto that says, "We'll guarantee you we'll go out and get you." Listen in it. I heard it on Fox the other day. "But we can't guarantee you we'll come back." Man, I love our military. I love our police officers. My hand on my heart when I hear that national anthem. I love them. I love them so much. So much. I'm able to stand here with a mic in my hand and tell you about Jesus because these young men and women of every race out there defending our freedom. That means something to me. Black, white, Muslim, Arab, Hispanic. Amen. The rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Amen. So, if we can comprehend what it is to walk in the love of God, the 11 understood it. They went out. I can't fathom knowing that the Holy Ghost whispers to me in a dream, "Homer, I want you to go to Turkey, but I want you to kiss your wife and your kids because you won't be coming back." You think about the commission that the ordination that the 11 had to go out and to bring forth fruit, to kiss your wife one last time. Say, "I love you, sweetheart. I don't know if I'll be coming back." My God, I so am jealous of them that they would love God so much that they would think nothing of themselves. That's what I want more than anything. They knew what the love of God was. They knew what it was. They knew it. People say, "Well, that person knows the word." No. They don't know the word if they're not walking in love. Hallelujah. They knew what walking in love was. They knew it. They knew that they couldn't come back with an offense. They knew they couldn't take an offense. Their platform was for God to be seen in their life, not caring if they were heard or received a standing ovation or was told how good they could articulate or how well they remembered the scriptures. They had one platform, one agenda, that was to magnify the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's what I want more than anything, to understand this love. I was put in a place of authority way too young. I knew nothing about the love of God. I had a couple of scriptures memorized, but I was not ready when I was put into a place of authority. I was not ready, not even remotely close. The book of Titus and Timothy gives us the outline of how an elder should live before he's put in eldership. Before, not during. An elder isn't one that's made in the process. An elder is one that's made before he's put in a place of authority. That's where we have made the mistake throughout the corporate body of Christ. But we're learning, right? We're learning. And you take 3 John, and we're going to talk about the love of God again, maybe more in depth a little bit. As you know, the wonderful thing about the book of 1 John, 2 John, I dream them. I go to sleep and the Holy Ghost is ministering to me those epistles. I dream them. I feel them. I can't help it. I just feel them. They're just going in my spirit, consuming me, which is what I want. More than anything in the world, I'm asleep in a dream and I'm talking to myself, beloved, let us love. I've gone through them so much through 20 years of downloading three little epistles, and now they're talking to me. Talking to me. When I comprehend this love and when I chase it like never before, that's when he'll send me out. And I'm not talking about going out being able to articulate. I'm talking about going out and laying my hands on the sick because I love them so much, and there's a mercy and compassion that's resident inside of me that all I want to do is see my Father's muscle seen, and I want to see them healed. When we comprehend and we walk in the love of God and we understand what it is, therein lies the power and the manifestation of the kingdom of God. You take 3 John, where Paul, how would you like to get, I mean, where John gives a shout out to a man named Gaius. He gives him some props. He gives him a shout out. John thought so much of this man, Gaius, that he gave him a shout out. He said, I rejoice greatly when the brethren came unto me and testified of the truth that is in thee. Even as I walk in the truth, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. He said, there's nothing else that tickles my fancy than my children would walk in truth. Listen to what he said. I rejoice greatly when the brethren came unto me and testified, listen to this, of the truth that is in thee. People came to me and told me, guys, how you were conducting yourself. They told me of the truth that was in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. The truth is in you, but the truth that's in you, you're walking according to that truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. If he testified and said, there's a truth in you and you're walking after that truth, and what gets me excited is when you walk after that truth, then that tells me there's a choice to be made, right? If the truth is in me and John's rejoicing that he's walking according to the truth that's in him, that means Gaius had a choice, correct? What's the choice? Because you said, mm-hmm. The choice is this: there's a truth in you. You're walking after the truth that's in you. That lets me know that he had a choice, either to walk in that truth or what? Or not walk in it. He wrote this letter to Gaius, to one man. He said, the brethren came unto me and testified of the truth that is in you, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Did you get that? You can have the truth in you. Well, let me ask you this. We're teaching right now. Can you have the truth in you and not walk according to that truth? Absolutely. That's proven every day in the church, right? He said, what brings me great joy, guys, is that the truth that's in you, you're walking in that truth. I have no greater joy, guys, that you walk in truth. But then something, I've gone through this verse and I asked Sarah and Harry about it a little while ago. But then what John writes to Gaius at the end of John, of 3 John, it started, I couldn't comprehend it for years. 1 John, I probably gone through it. I don't want to lie. I don't know how many, I've gone through it over 20 years. How about that? 20 years, 5 chapters. And this is where I made a mistake. I think Pastor Bronk phrased it perfectly. We cannot judge God's word according to our personal experiences. But we do it. Let me rephrase. I've done it. That's why I could not comprehend 1 John, because I saw it, I got it memorized, but I was judging it without even knowing, based on my failures and my experience.
That's why I could not comprehend. I said, okay, either he's born again or he's not born again. How many of you ask yourselves that question when you read 1 John? Who's he talking to? Now I know. Now I know, because I was beholding 1 John and judging it according to my experiences, according to my weaknesses. Now I know, I see it clearly. It is changing me, man. It is changing me. If the Father's ever going to send me, my heart is so for West Texas. It is. I cry for that place. I check the weather there every day. Oh, it's 56. And there's no doubt in my mind that I could leave right now and start a church immediately. But I got to wait for him. I got to wait for him. John told Gaius, is after he gave him a shout out, he commended him. He said, the brethren came unto me and they testified of the truth that is in you. Even as thou walkest in the truth, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. He gave him a shout out. He gave him a shout out. He gave him some props. But then he says this towards the end of 3 John. Now, do you think Gaius was a believer or an unbeliever? A believer, absolutely. But notice what John says at the end of chapter 3. This threw me for a head spin. He said, beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. For he that doeth good knoweth God. He that doeth evil has not seen God. Now I know through the Gospel of John and through 3 John that John told the writers, he said, look, if you sin, you haven't seen God, and you don't know God. He was referencing an unbeliever. But here he's talking to Gaius. He commends him for the truth that he walks in. He commends him, writes an epistle and commends him. He said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Gaius, you are walking according to the inward witness. You're walking according to eternal life. You are obeying that incorruptible seed. You, brother, are obeying the law of liberty. Now he goes on to say, dearly beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. For he that doeth good is of God. He that doeth evil has not seen God. Does that throw you for a little head spin a little bit? He that doeth evil has not seen God? Jesus told the Pharisees, you don't know what I say because you don't know who I am or my Father. You've seen me, but you've denied me. John said it in 1 John chapter 3. If you sin, you transgress the law. And if you transgress the law, you neither know me nor have you seen me. Regarding an unbeliever, yet he told Gaius in 3 John, he said, don't follow that which is evil, but that which is good. Well, what's good? Good is doing the truth that's in you. 3 John chapter 2 or 3. That's the good that we're to do. Well, then what's the evil? The evil is not doing the good that we're supposed to do. You did evil. But then he said to him, I'm going to read it one more time. He said, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. For he that doeth good knoweth God. Then he seemed to contradict himself. He that doeth evil has not seen God. And this allowed me to understand 1 John even more. Pastor Bronk said a couple months ago, there's only two kind of people in this world. What are they? Regenerate and unregenerate. He said, Gaius, there's truth in you. You obey that truth. The truth that is in you is the commandment of God, which is good. You're walking according to that which is good, which is the truth that's in you. Gaius, follow that which is good, not that which is evil. For he that doeth good knoweth God. He that doeth evil has not seen God. What are you saying to Gaius? Gaius, you have the life of God inside of you. You believe that Jesus is the Christ. Gaius, people that are born again do good. But Lord, no. Gaius, people that do good know God. They're born again. A born-again believer does not walk in sin, for the seed of God is in him. There was no gray area when he said that. This is where we have a hard time believing how free we are. This is why I couldn't break 1 John completely or understand 3 John. We have a hard time based on our failures and our experiences that we're free from sin because we seem to keep doing them over and over and over again. So I have a hard time comprehending this holy, undefiled book. But this is what John was saying. Gaius, follow that which is good. Why, Gaius? Because you're good. The commandments are in you, Gaius. This is what born again believers do. They do good. The good that we do is the truth that's in us. That's what believers do, Gaius. End of conversation. That's what we do. We're born again, family person. We are born again. We do good because truth is in us, and the truth is a good. Good is a commandment. That's what we do. Then why would he tell him, he that doeth evil has not seen God? I tell you why. Gaius, the life of God is inside of you. The life of God is not inside of the world. The world has not seen God. They do evil. Gaius, when you do not do the good that is in you, you act just like a man or woman that does not have the life inside of him. He wasn't telling Gaius that he'd never seen God. He said, when you leave the new nature, when you leave the new nature, the love of God, the commandments of God, the world has not seen God. They're going to do evil. Guys, don't do it. Family person, you got truth in you. Live according to that truth. That's what we do. You're all born again. The world has not seen God. That's why they do evil. Guys, you've seen him. You do good. No gray area, man. At all, there's no gray area. It wasn't that he was saying you're not born again. Guys, you're righteous. Righteous people do good. The good that they do is the truth. The truth is the commandment of God. Gaius, he that doeth evil has not seen God, meaning the world does not know who God is because they haven't acknowledged that Jesus is the Christ. There's two kinds of people in this world, Gaius. That's why nobody wants what we have because we got good in us. The truth of God is in us. When we do evil, we act just like the world. There is no differential. Do you get that? He that doeth evil has not seen God. Paul, you just gave Gaius some love. How can you tell him now that he hasn't seen God? He wasn't telling Gaius that. He said, Gaius, the world does evil because they haven't seen God. They haven't acknowledged Christ as a redeemer. Follow that which is good, Gaius, because the good that I'm asking you to follow is the good that's in you. The world does evil because they've never seen him. When we act like the world, when we do the things the world does, we're acting just like people that do not have the nature of God. That's why there's no revival. That's why there's no revival. Because the church acts like those that have not seen God and they do evil. There's got to be a differential. There has to be a differential. Has to be in my life and in yours. Thank God we're under this tremendous doctrine that Pastor Dave Roberson brought to us. Thank God we're starting to understand our freedom. He that does evil, they haven't seen God. He's not referencing you, but he's saying, guys, when you do evil, you're just like the world that has the spirit of the world in them. The world doesn't do good because good is not in them. They do evil, guys. Is that helping you any? Helping you, Kirsten? Follow not that which is evil. Why, John? Because there's no evil in your spirit. But follow that which is good. Why, John? Because good is in your spirit. For he that doeth good knoweth God. He wasn't telling Gaius that he'd never seen God. He was just saying, Gaius, I rejoice greatly of the truth that's in you. The truth that you do is the good that you're to do, and you're doing it, guys. I commend you. But when we forsake the inner witness, when we exit the law of liberty, we do what the world does. The world has not seen God because it doeth evil. We have to be different. Was that pretty good stuff or what? He wasn't telling guys he wasn't born again. He's saying, guys, just don't act like one that's not born again. He's talking to me. He's talking to you. I heard Sarah Huckabee Sanders. Y'all know who that is? I heard her yesterday and she began to weep. Listen, I offer no apology to anyone. I am a true conservative. I am. If me believing the word of God, if me believing that the million babies that are slaughtered every year have rights, if me believing that a man should marry a woman and that no man should use the bathroom with a female, if me believing that is wrong and that makes me a deplorable, then so be it. I'm the deplorable of the deplorables. And I back down from nobody. I won't look for an argument, but I offer my apology for my convictions to no one. See, the world doesn't is not what concerns me. It's the church that concerns me. Because you can't even say that babies, that abortion is wrong. Christians will rip you to death. If I have to sit down and argue or debate with a Christian that doesn't think that abortion's wrong, it will be the shortest conversation ever. If you can't comprehend that they're innocent and that even the laws that do not take innocent blood, if you can't comprehend that, you might want to start reading your Bible and praying in the Holy Ghost. You might want to start. Because there's that much compassion in you, and I will offer you no apology. There's that much compassion in you if you can't see the right that babies have inside of their mother's womb. 1 million are slaughtered every year. 1 million innocent babies are slaughtered and killed, and the church says nothing. It's a woman's choice to kill a baby? You dummy. You poo-poo head. What's a poo-poo head? I don't know. That's what my granddaughter calls me. Calls me a poo-poo head. I'm sweating again. I heard Sarah Huckabee Sanders say, she was weeping. She meant it. I don't know how her relationship is with Christ, but hearing her talk, I believe she has a relationship with him. She said yesterday, weeping, and I quote, and she said, the apostle, the John said in the Gospel of John, she said, I forgot what she said. She said, greater love, this is what she said, greater love has no man than this. And she began to break up a little bit. And a man laid down his life for his friends. Regarding Las Vegas. See, it's not that I'm mad at anybody, but I'm mad because the church is so weak. It's so weak. We're so indoctrinated by our culture, we don't even know what's right anymore. Instead of digging the scriptures and reading the Bible and praying to the Holy Ghost to reveal to us the mind of Christ, we trust our preacher with everything that he says. That cat barks like a dog. Oh, yes, Pastor, good preaching. This right here, our nose should be in it daily. Praying to the Holy Ghost, they go hand in hand. Don't you ever start a doctrine around me that it's not important to read your Bible. I will knock you across the head with this microphone. Homer, it seems like you knock praying in tongues. Oh, God, you have no comprehension of what you said. The revelation knowledge that I get comes from praying in the Spirit. I'm not too smart up here. Alex was my computer support when he worked with me at Balgas. He had to teach me how to send an attachment somewhere. I didn't even know how to do it. But thank God, we got this Lamb of praying in the Spirit. I will not and cannot be deceived. Sarah Huckabee Sanders said, John said in the Gospel of John, greater love has no man than this, than a man laid down his life for his friends. He said, you are my friends if you do what I command you. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Greater love has no man than this,
and a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. So what is the laying down process? The laying down process is doing whatever Jesus asked us to do. That's the laying down process. That's the laying down process. And John said in 1 John chapter 5 that the commandments of God are not grievous or burdensome to us. That threw me off guard too, because to me they're very burdensome. But when you can understand what the love of God is, they won't be a burden, because they knew that the only way we can draw the world to us is if we walk in love. And if you really comprehend the love of God, his commandments inside of us, they will not be a burden to us. It's when you do not understand what love is that they will be a burden to you. If you can't comprehend what walking in love is, the commandments of God will always be a burden to you, because you can't comprehend what puts a smile on daddy's face, which is to walk in the love of God. When you know what's at stake, when you can comprehend that loving God is keeping his word, then walking in love will not be a burden to you, because you know that's how the world will know that we belong to him. I don't care how well you articulate. I don't care. Listen to me. I got epistles memorized. Epistles. What does that mean to the Father? Nothing. I can quote you probably 4, 5, 6 epistles. That's nothing to him if I can't put on the new man. That's nothing. I got Psalms memorized. I can get under a certain anointing. I'll remember all of them. What's that mean if I can't put on the new man and put off the old? What's that mean? What's that mean to the kingdom? What's that mean to the little one in a wheelchair? Nothing. Nothing. Greater love has no man than this. And a man laid down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. You are my friends if you lay down in your life to do the good that's inside of you. We have no agendas. We can't be opinionated. We can't voice our opinion on a 10-second video on Facebook. Shut up. Shut up. Your opinion means nothing. You were born again, Holy Ghost filled, sanctified believer. Be quiet. Gosh, we need to be quiet. Don't give your opinion. There's no opinions in the kingdom of God. There's only a laying down of our life. It's only a laying down of our life. We're born again to do good, not to do evil. He that does evil has not seen God. The world does evil. They haven't seen God, meaning they're not born again. They don't know who Christ is. We do. We do. We lay down our life to do the good that's in us, because the glory of the Father is at stake. God being seen is at stake. This is real to me now. I dream it. I feel it. It's in my spirit. It talks to me. It talks to me. Walking in love is that we would keep his word. Jesus said, as the Father loved me, so I love you. The Father has come and made his abode in us. We're holy in spirit, called to lay off or to put to death the deeds of the body by not doing them. By not doing them. Our flesh is a corpse, a lifeless corpse, the Greek says. It's been rendered weak. Greater love has no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Doing whatsoever he commands me is the laying down of my life process. Don't say it, son. Don't do it, son. Yes, Jesus. We can comprehend truly what the love of God is. Commandments of God inside of us will not be a burden. If we cannot comprehend the agape of God, they will be a burden to us because we don't know what puts a smile on the Father's face. Son, you wanted to say it, but you knew and you comprehended and you had an image of my love inside of you and you didn't say it. And you know what, son? I know all things from heaven. You didn't even want to say it to an extent. That's pleasing to the Father. If our heart condemn us, 1 John 3, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. If our heart, Kirsten, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we do those things that are pleasing in his sight. We complicate the kingdom. We complicate it. If our heart's condemning us, that means we're sinning somewhere. But if our heart condemns us not, we have a complete confidence that whatever we ask of him, he'll give it to us as his children because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Greater love has no man than this, and a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever you feel like doing, right? No. That's whatever you feel like doing. That's the problem in the kingdom. We do what's convenient at a convenient time. We can comprehend the love of God. The love of God is not broad. It is narrow. Loving God is keeping his commandments. Loving God is keeping his commandments. He said, I've kept my commandments, John 15, and I abide in his love. How did Jesus abide in the love of God? What did he do? He kept the commandments that he's asking me and you to keep. It was not a burden to him because he came as a ransom for all. He came as a ransom for all, Terry. He came as a ransom for all. He came as a ransom for Pontius Pilate. He came as a ransom for the mom and dad that aborted that little baby. See, I'm not mad at people that have done that. I've done it. I wonder sometimes, what does he, what does she look like? I've done it. I wasn't born again, though. But I'm not mad at any woman or man that have done that. I'm just a million babies cut to pieces, man. There's certain platforms that I hate. But we can't be offended at those that make those demonic platforms because Christ came as a ransom for all. People will do you wrong, believers and unbelievers. Christ came as a ransom for all. We are called to lay down our life. Laying down of our life is that we would do whatsoever Christ asked me and you to do. Are you mad? No, I'm not mad. I've never been so happy in my life. I just want us to think, comprehend what the love of God is. The love of God is that me and you as a corporate body would keep his word. We've seen God through Christ. There's a download in our spirit called truth. 2 John says, Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and what? Love. The love was the doing of the truth. We're sons of the kingdom. We should be in truth and love, though we can walk in truth and not walk in love because we don't do the truth, which is the love that we walk in. Before we rip somebody's head off, we better be so, so careful. Because we're only known through the love that we walk in.
He said, Kirsten, don't follow that which is evil, but that which is good, Kirsten. For he that doeth good, he knoweth God, Kirsten. He that doeth evil has not seen God, Kirsten. The good that I want you to do, you go back to Romans with this. The good that I want you to do, Kirsten, you can do it because the good is in you. Don't do evil because there's no evil in your spirit, Kirsten. The world does evil because they haven't seen God. When we do evil and forsake the good that's in our nature, we're just like the world. No differential. Are you catching that? No differential. No differential. I'm called to lay down my life for Terry, for Alex, for Carl, for my wife, for Marty. I'm called to lay down my life and do what my Father asked me to do through Jesus Christ. I'm not called to give my opinion. As I haven't been, I've been posting very, now I'm not telling you this story for a bit. I post about food, about my wife, about football. I'll always post that. But I will not get in a debate with anybody about Scripture. I will not. And I won't blabber off at the mouth over a 10-second insert that I thought I seen that the liberal media perverted. I'm not going to do it. And Fox has some crazy stuff in there too sometimes. Fox does too. I hate to put it like this, but and I hate saying Democrat and Republican. I hate saying it, but just for teaching purposes, I'm going to say this. Democrats believe the liberal media. Republicans believe Fox. We believe the Word of God. Christians believe the Word of God. That's what we believe. My allegiance is to the Lamb of God, not to culture. My views are not political. They're kingdom views. And they're going to get me in trouble one day. Guess what? I'm not scared. I am not scared at all. And neither are you, because you're taught well. You're hungry. You give yourself to the Holy Ghost. You stick your nose in the Scripture. You fast. You pray. You confess. We're small right now in numbers, but I guarantee you that spirit and of God in us, it's just, he just wants to burst out inside of us. He just, oh my God, we're tough. We endure hardness as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. We walk according to the power of God. I love, and I'm closing already. What does that mean? Okay, thank you, Harry Robert. I love what Paul said in 2 Timothy 3. I love it. 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 And sometimes I don't like quoting a lot of scriptures because I quote them without the Bible. And I don't want that to excite you. I don't want that to excite you. I wish I could quote the Bible like that. No, 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 no. You can be a baby and walk in more love than me with me having epistles quoted. You can be a baby and walk in more love than I can. Don't ever get caught up in that. I did at the beginning. God, if I could just quote the word like them, live like hell and watch pornography. Well, I could, but I could quote the word. Poo-poo head. Big poo-poo head. By the way, Sarah, I really felt God's anointing when you and your husband touched me. I really did. I felt such sincerity in both of you. I really did. Really. I wouldn't just say that because it'd be a lie. But I really did. I love what Paul said in these closing words. He said, you have fully known my doctrine. Listen to what he said. Last epistle before he's beheaded by Nero. Last epistle. And by the way, I like 2 Timothy 4. I can't prove this, but I'm going to give you my opinion because it's not going to hurt nothing. When he told Timothy, bring the cloak, the books, especially the parchments, I personally believe that Timothy got an awesome gift that day. Bring the cloak, the book, and the parchments. If he was going to be beheaded, and he knew it, why would he need them? lest he was passing the torch to his son in the spirit. I would have loved to have that cloak and that book and that parchments. I would have loved it. Here, son. It's yours. Pastor Bronx went about a year ago and he blindsided me. He blindsided. We talk a little bit. We don't talk. We're good friends. We talk a lot about football. We talk almost every day or text every day. I don't spend much time with him. I mean, we could. But he walked in that office one day and I had to hold back every single ounce of man that I thought I had in me. He said this to me with sincerity. I couldn't see. I would have given him a big old hug. And he said, Homer, if something ever happens to me, not fear of death and not a plane crash or ever put in prison or in jail. I think that's what he was referencing. He said, Homer. And he got real quiet. And he paused. He said, I want you to take the church. Will you take the church? No, Pastor Brock, I'm not going to take the church. To me, that was my book, the cloak and the parchments, that he would trust me with you guys. But Paul said this before he was beheaded. He said, you've known, 2 Timothy 3, you've known my doctrine. People say doctrine is not important. I almost got caught up in that 4 or 5 years ago. Boy, was I an idiot. That's the first thing Paul listed. You have known my doctrine, manner of life. You've known my purpose. My faith. My long suffering. My charity. You've known my patience. We think about this outpouring, not realizing what's going to come at us. He said, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Lystra. I forgot how to say the other one, Iconium or Lystra and Antioch. He said, what persecutions I endured. And all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Being mean to you is not living godly. Therefore, if I'm persecuted for the mean that I was to you by you, it wasn't true persecution because I wasn't living godly. Paul said this, I'm in trouble for living godly. And this is the thing. I'll endure this trouble. How are you going to endure that trouble? Because the godliness that got me in trouble, I'm going to keep walking according to that godliness in trouble. I'm not going to deviate from that incorruptible seed. I'm not going to deviate from the law of liberty, Father, because you came as a ransom for all. And I choose to glorify you. I choose to show the world who you are. I'll be long-suffering with you, my friends, as long as you be long-suffering with me. He said, persecutions, afflictions, scriptures, they came unto me at Antioch, at Lystra, at Iconium. They came unto me, but I endured them all. How did you endure those persecutions? Because I lived holy through them. I lived holy through beatings, through scourgings, through watchings, through fastings. Broken bones here, broken bones there, always in peril of my own countrymen. I endured it with the love of God. They couldn't offend me because I took the power away from them to offend me when I walked into God. If we walk into God, we cannot be offended and we won't give one. We won't give one if we walk into Him. We won't give an offense and we won't take it because I've taken the power away from you to offend me if I walk in the love of God. You can't do it. But if I don't walk in the love of God, you will offend me and I will offend you back. Persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured. How'd you endure them, Paul? I comprehended and I knew what it was to walk in the love of God. when Nero had Paul beheaded, I guarantee you Nero was there. Paul gave his life for the gospel. I guarantee you Paul sowed a seed in Nero's life. This is what we're after. If we can comprehend the love of God, we'll never cut each other up again. We got to comprehend the love of God. We got to lay down our life to do whatever Christ Jesus has asked of us, whether through commandments written in our heart or through an everyday commandment, putting on that new man, being meek, peacemakers, pure in heart, being hungry and thirsty after righteousness, being merciful, letting our light shine like a city set on a hill, being merciful as he's merciful, doing unto others as we would that they do unto us, being the salt of this earth, being meek. We've got to understand the love of God. We've got to understand the love of God. We've got to understand that laying down our life is we would do whatever we had to do to obey the commandment of a holy Savior. Consider what I say. May the Lord give the understanding. It's hard, and I'm closing again for real. It's hard to understand how free we are because we've been so indoctrinated by our failures. Amen. We're so indoctrinated by our failures, and we judge God's word according to our personal experience. Titus chapter 2 is an awesome book. Awesome chapter. It gives a description of what we're to be. It tells the older men to be temperate, faithful. It tells the aged women how to conduct themselves, that they may teach the young women to be chaste, to be keepers at home, to submit to their husband. Let me tell you something. There is no feminist movement in the kingdom of God. And you know what else? There's no dogmatic movement either, men, in the kingdom of God. That woman that you think is your slave, that's a daughter of God. And women, there's no feminist movement at all in God's kingdom. It does not exist. My Bible says that the man is the spiritual head of the household. Not in a dogmatic way, but in a spiritual way. He said this regarding a lifestyle of the aged men, the aged women, the young men, and the young brides. He said, if you do these things that I list in Titus 2, he said, the doctrine of God, our Savior, will be adorned. It'll be adorned. The world will see who we belong to because the doctrine of God, our Savior, will be adorned. He said, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation unto men has taught us that denying ungodliness and worldly love, we should live soberly, righteously in this present world. And I ask you, he said, that they may adorn the gospel of God our Savior in all things. This, and I'm done. In all things. That they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. Well, the way it's adorned, if me and you do the things listed above in Titus 2. If we do these things, the world will adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God which bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. I ask you this question. What is the grace of God? That they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior. What does doctrine teach us? What's it do? What's the purpose of doctrine? It what? I just gave you the answer. What does doctrine do for me and you? It what? You don't know what doctrine does to me and you? It teaches us, right? That they may adorn. Paul, how do they adorn the doctrine of God our Savior? When they do, chapter 2, verse 1, all the way down. When they do it, when we do those things, the doctrine of God our Savior is adorned because you did what the doctrine of God taught you. Listen, and I'm done. I had to throw this in there. That they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. For the grace of God has appeared unto all men, teaching us. The grace of God has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. What is the grace of God in this context? The what? One more time. Titus 2 teaches aged men, mature moms, mature women, young wives, young husbands. It teaches us a lifestyle. We're taught a lifestyle. He said, do what I'm teaching you, and the doctrine of God, our Savior, will be adorned in all things. He's teaching us. He said in verse 1 of chapter 2, and say thou the things which become sound doctrine. Listen carefully. You've got to catch this, and I'm done. If you do Titus 2 all the way down, the doctrine of God will be adorned in all things. For the grace of God has appeared unto all men. The grace of God has appeared to all men, teaching us. The grace of God teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. What is the grace of God that teaches us according to what I just quoted beforehand? Sound doctrine in context is the grace of God. It teaches me and you, friends, that they may adorn the doctrine of God. The doctrine of God is sound doctrine. We do the things that we're asked to do. The world would adorn the doctrine of God and give himself to, because the grace of God, it teaches me and you. The grace that teaches is the doctrine of God. That's the grace that he's referencing, because it teaches us how to live. And we live out of that doctrine. The world will know and see God in us and say, my God, there is a God. And if we can learn to live like that, trust me, saying, rise up and be healed, will be nothing for me and you. The grace of God that teaches is the doctrine of God, which is sound doctrine, which is to put on that new man. Are you with me on that? That is the doctrine of God that teaches. That is the grace of God that teaches, is the word of God. And just so you'll know, that's been in my heart for 2 or 3 years. And I called Gary Carpenter, and he said, you got it, brother. So I know I'm right. If Gary okayed it, I ain't going to lie. But I got it first. The grace of God teaches us, Kirsten. It teaches that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present evil world, this present world. The grace of God teaches. It teaches. The doctrine of God is the grace of God in context here. But it says to be temperate, to be chaste, to be keepers at home, to be. It didn't say to say. It said to do. That's the part we got to catch. To be temperate, to be faithful, to be men of faith, not purloining. To be these things, to be, we content with to say. If we can articulate it, we've arrived. No. The grace of God teaches that denying ungodliness and worldliness, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. We do a real good job of saying, the corporate body does, a real good job. We've said for years. But yet we do the things that the world does. The doctrine of God is not adorned. Comprehend what is the love of God. Comprehend it. Walk in it. And I'm right there with you, learning every single day. If we can understand and comprehend what the love of God is, we can change this world. We can usher in a mighty presence of the Almighty God, as we're taught by the grace of God. And the grace of God is his doctrine, is his word. Doctrine teaches doctrine teaches, and as we're taught, we're to do, that the doctrine of God would be adorned in the eyes of the world, even in prison, even when we face death, we do not deviate, and we always make sure that the doctrine of our God is obeyed, because the grace of God, it teaches us, denying ungodliness and worldliness, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Amen. That's a lot to swallow tonight, wasn't it? By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. The first thing that qualifies me to love God is to be born again. Then I'm born again and His word is deposited in me. As I live out of that word, I love Him. And as I live out of that word and love Him, then guess who else I love? You. If I'm born of God, His word's in my heart and in my mind, and I don't do it, I'm not loving God. And if I'm not loving God, I am not loving who? You. That is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. His commandments are not a burden to us. They still are to me a little bit. That's because I don't believe God's word quite yet. But the more I see the image and comprehend the love of God, starting to be less and less a burden to me. I'm starting to agree with John out of 1 John chapter 5. Come with me on this journey. Come with me. Kirsten, I can't see it, but I know your eyes are glued. Your spirit's so hungry. Your spirit's so hungry. You want it so much. I feel it. You want it. It's like your eyes are burning. Your spirit's hungry. You're crying out, Father, I want so much more. I can feel it. I'm telling you. Let's finish. Let's finish. Let's finish. Let's be long-suffering with each other. That's when the medley is usually over, at 45 minutes. But I do feel that I'm done. So does Marty. Did you get a little something out of it? Terry, follow that which is good, not that which is evil. For he that doeth good is of God. He that doeth evil has not seen God. We don't do evil because we've seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. I love each and every one of you. I'm starting to love you more and more every day. I'm starting to love everybody, especially my wife. Especially everybody. The more you fall in love with God, you can't help but to love people that you didn't love before. If you can't stand people, you can't stand God. Because the commandment originates with Him in my spirit for you. If you have a problem with one person, oh, I can't stand that person. No, 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 your problem is not that person. Your problem is the Word of God. And since the Father and the Word are one, He's your problem. Be so careful not to strive. Be so careful not to murmur. Be so careful. Meditate what you're going to say. The love of God is at hand. Glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I get real nervous when we live stream because sometimes I have no filter. Pastor warned me to, Homer, you don't have a safety net underneath you no more. In other words, filter myself. I don't think I said anything out of order. I don't think I did. But if I did, he'll hear it and, hey, buddy, got to talk to you. Oh, Lord. Hey, buddy. Hey, man, I need to shut up. I'm done already. Stand with me, please. Did we have a good time? Hallelujah. A little bit of new stuff out of the epistles of John. They're working on me. It's talking to me. I love each and every one of you. Father, I thank you so much for your mercy, for your grace, for your love, Lord. We can walk like Christ because the Spirit of God is in us and we're filled with the same Holy Spirit. All that Christ did, Father, he did it in his humanity. And if he did it in humanity, and we have the instruction of John 14 that whatever Jesus did, we can do also, then, Father, we cling on to that promise. And we strive to love even when we don't feel like it, Father, because John said that your commandments, they were not a burden to us. So, Father, I love you. I praise you, and I thank you for our pastor. We look forward to hearing him Sunday morning, Father, as him and Miss Candy come back. We look forward to congregating together again Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, Father. Jesus' precious holy name we pray, and all the saints of God said, love you so much. See you Sunday morning.